I want to look at Philippians chapter 3 as we look into Scripture for our Easter message this morning. Philippians chapter 3. It's a very powerful chapter, and in verse 10, Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." In the verses before this verse, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." In other words, anything that is less important than Christ, he considered that as a write-off, as a loss. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung." What did he mean by all things? By fame, by riches, by the glory of this world. He says, "I consider it all rubbish. I considered it nothing. I wrote it off as a loss, but in order that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law." So Paul's ambition, his fire in his soul, his passion, was that he longed to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. One more thing, and the fellowship of his sufferings. That has very deep meaning. "If by any means he might attain unto the resurrection from the dead." The less we value our own righteousness, our own deeds, the less we focus on our own goodness, the more we tend to seek the true holiness and true righteousness. The less you think of your beauty, the more you desire to be like Christ, to let Christ assume the image in you, and that people, when they look at us, that they not don't see us or our own established lives and our own goodness, but Christ himself. The less a person thinks of themselves, the more they will think of Christ. This is what Paul indicates here. And he says that he tried to gain and attain the righteousness on his own through the law. But he said that was futile. It was in vain. He was really good at it. He knew the law. He was a PhD law student. But all of that, he said, I put aside. All of the knowledge, all of the research I did, all of the memorization of the different aspects of the laws, the meanings, the Hebrew understanding, the Greek understanding, all of that, he said, I put aside to zero in, laser focused on Christ and his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He speaks about the evidence of the power of the resurrection. Now, what is that evidence? The evidence of the power of the resurrection is, first of all, that Christ is indeed the Messiah who he said he was, that he is the anointed one, the one that was supposed to come, the one that had been prophesied by Moses and the prophets of old, that he was the true Son of God, the one and only, the only begotten Son, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, as Paul states. When Paul was at Antioch, he said, "The promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, this day I have begotten you.'" What is the proof of the resurrection power? It is also the blood. That is the blood of the covenant, a lasting covenant. Because Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. He made that covenant once and for all. And that covenant is there for you and me to enter at any time. It is never too late. As long as you're on this earth, you can enter that blood covenant of Jesus Christ and then have the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Two things will happen when you enter the covenant with Christ. First, you will experience the spiritual resurrection from the dead, because those that are in darkness, those that live in sin, are considered dead in trespasses and sins. And when Christ comes in, he revives us. He resuscitates us, if you will. He brings us back to life. Dead in trespasses and sin, he has made you alive again in Christ Jesus. That is proof that he is risen from the dead. And Paul writes about the second resurrection. That will be the physical resurrection. And I want to assure you today, yes, you and I will be physically resurrected. Our bodies will one day be resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye. I prefer that, actually. I wish the Lord would come in my time so that I'm changed in the twinkling of an eye, because then we will have eternal bodies that will not grow sick, not grow old. We will be forever in that eternal body. This is what Paul meant when he writes so positively, actually, about the resurrection. He said, if Christ is not risen, if he isn't risen, then our preaching is in vain. Then your faith is also in vain. If Jesus is not risen, then we believe a lie, then we are just totally deceived. But how could so many be deceived? And this is the next proof of the resurrection power, because people gave, the disciples gave their lives for Christ. They were so 100%, maybe we should say 200% convinced and convicted that Christ is alive, that they did not count their lives dear to themselves. They laid down their lives for Christ because he had died for them. They suffered the loss of everything. And many, many people throughout the centuries that believed in Jesus Christ lost everything, including their lives. I recommend that you read the Book of Martyrs. There's a lot of stories in there where people gave their lives for Christ and for the gospel. That is proof that Christ is risen indeed. You see, when you believe something that you're ready to die for, it is a heart issue. When Christ is so dear to us, when we love him so much that we would give everything for it, for that faith in Christ, that is the real, genuine faith that Christ seeks. He doesn't seek the faith that is dependent on all kinds of conditional elements, like if Christ blesses me, then I will follow. If I get ticked off, then I turn my back on him. That's not really following Christ, is it? That's not even proof that he lives in our lives. Then we cannot sing, he lives within my heart. If we sing, he lives within my heart, we need to be loyal to him. Whether we die or we suffer, or we suffer persecution, it doesn't matter. We are loyal to him. The second area of power of the resurrection is that it is a justifying power. The requirements for our justifications were met at the cross. Our Lord's rising from the dead was actually a discharge of the high court's justice. In other words, God said, I will raise my son from the dead to seal this deal that justice has been served on our behalf. Because in the Old Testament, the law was those who sin must die. Those who sin must be lost, must be separated from God forever and ever. That was the law. But our righteousness was established before God when Christ rose from the dead. It was sealed forever. And here we read, this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So now he is there. He is interceding for us. He is waiting for the Father's command to come back and to take us all home if we follow him. When he cried on the cross, it is finished. Your righteousness was complete in Christ. And if you enter into this covenant with Christ by coming to him in repentance and in brokenness, just accepting this sacrifice of Jesus as your own, God then is pleased with you. The next part of the power of resurrection is that it is a life-giving power. You cannot separate Christ from eternal life. And John, the Apostle John, so clearly stated this. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. That's simple. Jesus is life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You cannot separate the two. Did you hear that correctly? Jesus is the resurrection and life. One and the same. He is that empowerment that is divine, that empowerment that is humanly impossible to attain. But God, in his wisdom, it says, it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. And John says, of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. There is the power. There is the power of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives if we receive grace upon grace. What does that mean, receiving grace upon grace? Well, you say, I received grace yesterday, or I received grace when I became a child of God, when I came to Christ in repentance. No, grace upon grace is living out the salvation, living out the life that Christ has given us. Don't allow Satan to snuff out this life. Don't allow Satan to, in any way, shape, or form, to convince you that it's not worth serving Christ because of some difficulties. No, overcome with Christ. Trust him with everything. And have this motto in your life, no matter what, my life belongs to Christ. The Apostle Paul said in one place, whether I live or die, I belong to Christ. Christ is all in all. And his triumph of life in the resurrection becomes our triumph. You and I can now live in victory. We can live in that hope that raises us up above the darkness, above the storms. where we can, in the middle of the storms of life, whether it's illness or crises or whatever happens in our lives, we can trust him with all our hearts. Because Christ, being risen from the dead, dies no more, he said. Death has no dominion over Christ. And if you stay close to Christ, you stay close to life. You stay close to triumph. You stay close to eternal victory. The last point I want to raise here, the power of his resurrection is a consoling power. And all of us have lost loved ones in the past. What is horrifying is that when accidents happen, car accidents, or a brother in Christ once told me he had been a sheriff in the states, in one of the southern states, and they were called to a certain corner of a highway to come to an accident scene. And so he said, I drove up the patrol car, and here I saw a truck with fuel that had collided with a car. And the fuel had spilled, and there was fire all around. The person, the driver in the car, was still alive. And he begged me, he said, and then tears came down his face. He said, he begged me to shoot him. He said, please, please shoot me, because he was burning up alive. He couldn't help him. He said, I will never forget the scene. I had to see. I couldn't shoot him. That was, I was helpless. I couldn't do it, he said. But I had to now sit and watch how this person burned alive. Some of our law enforcement have seen a lot of these type of things. They happen in war, but they happen also in accident. What I want to say by this is, even those bodies that have been burned to a crisp, those bodies that have been in the ocean, those bodies that have been cremated, or whatever things have happened, as our Lord and Savior, when he comes, they will rise again. Because with God, nothing is impossible. This resurrection power extends to everyone that believes in Christ. We will rise again. And we can comfort our loved ones when we have lost a loved one. And some of you have lost a spouse, or maybe two, maybe a child. It's very painful when someone loses a child. Extremely painful. I don't even know how it is, but my heart goes out to those that have lost a child. But that's where the resurrection consolation comes in, the comfort, knowing that as we put our trust in the resurrected Lord, one day we will see that child, that spouse, that family member again. And this time, there's no more pain, no more saying goodbye, no more sadness, no more tears. Not only that, the Lord God himself will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Every tear. Maybe you have a secret pain in your heart today. Maybe you feel like you have been dying on the inside. Here is a very important thought that Paul is raising here. God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. But in order to be raised from the dead, maybe from a dead dream, a dead vision, a dead hope, Maybe you had to die to a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams that you had for your life. But know this, the resurrection is coming. Satan cannot prevent it unless we allow him to. We can rise again. We can rise above these shattered dreams. If you have a heartache, God wants to resurrect that. He wants to restore it. Remember Psalm 23? He restores my soul. That's where he is so sensitive about. He wants our soul to be healthy. And then when we suffer all kinds of things that we have to go through in this life because we cannot rise from the dead unless we die. We cannot rise from the dead unless we are buried with him. And then we can say to the enemy, yes, it is Friday. In life, it feels oftentimes that every day is Friday. Every day is a good Friday. Every day is like, oh no, you know, I'm crucified. It's over. My hope is gone. But we can say to the enemy, yes, this may be your hour, and this may be the hour of the power of darkness, but Christ's light is in me. They have taken away my Lord, said the women. They have taken him away, and we do not know where they have laid him. You may be confused like the women at the grave. You may feel like, oh yes, I have no clue what to do next because the Lord is not there. I had hoped he would be there. I had hoped at least a dead body would be there, but not even the dead body is there. And now what? Because he has something better for you and me. And you know, later when the women heard the wonderful voice of their master, it was more that they could have wished for, right? It was more they had imagined. It was so awesome that they would have never wanted it any other way. This is the message for us. As you go through trials, as you go through difficulties, allow Christ's triumph to come into those difficulties. And say to the Lord, Lord, this is too big for me to handle. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know where the body is laid. I'm confused right now, but I know you have promised. I know you have proven yourself as the resurrected Lord. And I know that you will also speak life over this death, whatever that situation is. And you will revive it again in a better and more efficient way than I can ever imagine. Now, I have to tell myself this. I have to preach to myself this morning because that's what I need to also learn. Paul said, I desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to feel that power. I want to immerse myself into the resurrection of the power, but also the fellowship of his suffering, because the fellowship of Christ's suffering brings the resurrection closer. And we can know this, that one day when he comes, there will be shouts of joy and jubilee. And we will be with Christ how long? Forever and ever. May God bless you today and this Easter Sunday. As you celebrate, remember, we may face Good Friday. We may have to bring loved ones to the grave. We may face death ourselves. But death has no power anymore because Paul says, death, where is your sting? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.